Your breakdown coming up in a little bit. 215-592-9494. I tell you, hop aboard. It's the midday show. 37-17. What a day yesterday by Jalen Hurts, the Eagles, and that defense. You know, when the Bengals went down to score to start the game, I'm like, not going to go well. 17 plays, 70 yards, a touchdown to Jamar Chase. And by the way, on that play, somehow Nolan Smith ended up in coverage on Jamar. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long day. Next 8 possessions for the Bengals. The rest of the game, they scored 10 total points. They held the ball, I believe, for just 8 more minutes.
It was definitely a switch.
Yeah, it was a total switch. They held the ball for 18 more minutes the entire game. The Eagles defense showed up right there. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here as we react together to a heck of an Eagles win. Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Jeff?
Jeff, you all the way back in?
Well, yeah, I'm all the way back in. I was never all the way out. What I was mad that they had all this talent and they weren't making it work in the first 2 or 3 games of the season like they should have. So that's really what it's all about. They played an A game all the way around. And you know what I noticed listening to and watching Sirianni's locker room speech to the team? He's way better doing that. I just think he's so nervous or whatever in front of the media, and he's afraid to say anything that will be construed as giving away team secrets or making him sound dumb. He's not that dumb. These guys believe in
him. Said he's not that dumb.
No. Well, I mean, look. It's the way you said it.
Print the T-shirts. The 2024 Eagles. He ain't that dumb.
He ain't that dumb.
I haven't had a glass of milk in probably 20 years.
No, Jeff, I think you're right. Jeff, when they first hired him. Yeah, I think you're right on this. When they first hired him, I remember I went back and found a video. He was the coordinator of the Colts. Because remember his first press conference, he was awful. But I found a video of him. I think it was like a Hard Knocks thing or something. Like it was behind the scenes. And he was talking to his team as the coordinator of the Colts, and it was way different. It's probably why the players like him, because they see the real him. They realize, like, all right, he's got our back. He's a good dude, all that stuff. We see the goofy stuff, and we're like, what is this guy doing?
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
Yeah, I think you're onto something here.
That was a quality win against a team that is better than their record shows.
Yep.
Their offensive line isn't very good. Joe Burrow is still a top 5-10 quarterback, just like Jalen is. It's just a matter of putting it all together with the right guys in front of you.
Well, and that's for sure. And, Jeff, I think for the first time, and, Jeff, always a good phone call, for the first time you look up at Jalen Hurts' numbers. Now, we have 2 teams left to play. I mean, neither of these guys playing tonight are top 10-ish quarterbacks, so it doesn't matter what they do. You look at Jalen's numbers now for the full season, they've trended back towards being top 10-ish across the board in terms of completion percentage, QBR. Because, like, for a while, it was like, this is a mediocre – he's playing mediocre football. Yesterday, you add those numbers in, and yeah, I mean, it's fair to say if he plays like this the rest of the season, Hugh, he'll be back to where he was. Maybe not quite 2 years ago, but much closer, right? Like top 10-ish.
Yeah.
Which I don't need Jalen Hurts to be the second or third best quarterback in football with the talent they have around him. If he's a top 10 quarterback,
that's fine.
And this defense is what it is right now.
That's fine.
They can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean that's a
formula. They're trending in the right direction. And I'll say another thing about this young secondary. They're eerily similar to me to that Kansas City when they had those young corners that were out there playing. The one thing that jumps out to me immediately when I see these young guys play is the sound tackling that they have and the yards after the catch not being a big factor like it once was in the first couple of weeks of the season. That's the thing that jumps out to me. I know we're going to do the breakdown, but that's the biggest part of the breakdown that I noticed was that when they make they're sound tacklers. And a lot of times, that's the difference. They're going to get theirs. You got to go into the game, and I think that these young fellas have embraced that. You're going to get some pretty darn good receivers. They're going to get theirs. You just have to make sure that you don't get gutted with the yards after the catch. And that was one of the biggest things that happened when we played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was the fact that, man, that yards after the catch killed us. It killed us bad.
So there's a lot of differences between last year's Eagles and this year's Eagles, right? The coordinators are different.
Mm-hmm.
The running back is certainly different. You know, obviously going from DeAndre Swift to Saquon Barkley. The biggest upgrade the Eagles made of any spot, and leave the coaches out, I mean on the field, is the cornerback room from last year to this year. Do you remember some of those corners that played last year? They were getting old guys off the street. What was his name? Bradley Roby? Was that his name?
Roby. I remember what Bradberry? Who was the other guy?
Well, Bradberry. Technically still here. He's rehabbing from that injury. But yeah, they had Bradberry out there. They had Roby out there.
That's right. He still is here.
He still is here. Yeah, he's not going to play with this group out there. But like, just they have young Thundercats that can play, and last year they had old guys that could not play.
But they would tackle it first.
Yeah, and they also couldn't run. Right? it's a bad combination. If you can't run and you can't tackle, playing corner in the NFL is impossible. These guys could do both. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hugh, Joe, Kyle.
What's going on, man?
Bruce, what's up?
Oh man. Look, I'm just so excited. And you know, the bad thing that sucks about yesterday, I was actually on my way back from New York, so I actually didn't see the game. I had the chance to review the highlights. And I'm just so excited because this is the first time they really – I mean, we're talking about a legitimate – a complete game where Jalen has showcased his highlights in the defense. I just can't say enough about them. I mean, it's just awesome because, see, I think one of the problems that really hasn't been talked about too much, aside from Jalen, I think a part of his struggles has been centered around not only just himself, but then the coaching. It seems like, yes, what we've seen yesterday, and I think one of the biggest things that I loved yesterday, and I talked about this last week, was him being comfortable in the pocket and sliding out of the pocket and being more aggressive and taking off and using his legs. We saw the old version of Jalen, and it seems like the play calling is being adapted to adjust around what his talents are. And I think that's one of the reasons why we saw a much better performance from Jalen yesterday, for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's just mentally it's clicking for him. Like when he was staying – Bruce, yesterday I thought he was very decisive. When he wanted to run, he took off and ran. When he saw a lane, he went.
Yep.
And when he decided to stay in the pocket, he didn't, like, stay for 3 seconds and then run out to the right and throw it out of bounds. He stayed in the pocket. He bought himself time, and then he threw the ball over the middle yesterday.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. They're calling plays over the middle. They're using the complete field. And they're using – they're running on a timely play, and the running game is being predicated. Is dictating what the passing game is going to be. So we're seeing this synchronicity between the passing and the running. So I think going forward, all this talk about Jalen, I was annoyed like Jalen, and this reminds the morning show. Sometimes the criticism of Jalen has been over the top. Oh, he's going to be out of here at the end of his contract and all that. No, give him some time. This team is gelling. And people just need to calm down. Now, he needs his criticism when it's warranted. But people just need to let them play. Now, the next thing I want to see going forward is just progress. And now when they start hitting a difficult part of their schedule, I think we're going to see some good results if they maintain this game plan and this approach against each team. I think we're looking up. Everything's looking up now.
It is. Bruce, are you all the way back in? That's the question.
I would say 85% yes. I want to see what's going on when they start playing difficult teams. That's when now look, we rolled Dallas, so we beat Dallas, and we play. Hey, look, we take out Baltimore. I'm not even worried about the Washington. I think they're frauds. We're going to win that game, but once we notch a couple of those victories, that's when I'm all the way in. So, yeah, you know what? We need to be thinking about Super Bowl.
Oh, I love it, Bruce. Bruce, 85. That's bulletin board material this week. Bruce is not fully in yet. Bruce from D.C., not fully in. I mean, it's hard not to be back in today all the way.
You saw some exciting football yesterday.
Yes, and it wasn't just – it's one thing if it's the other team screwing up or they're playing a really bad quarterback. Like, we had all these reasons to kind of say, I'm not sure. Like, even the wins they had before yesterday, every one of them came with some sort of weird thing, right? Mm-hmm. Week one, and Green Bay is 6-2 now. One of their two losses was to the Eagles. But the Green Bay game, remember Jalen threw the ball to the other team like four times?
Mm-hmm.
That stuck with you. The win over the New Orleans Saints, they lost their starting center, and the Eagles basically needed, Goddard to run free because two guys ran into each other to win that game. So even that game was like, okay, they won, but... Giants and Browns, they won, but terrible quarterbacks. Yesterday, was different.
It was a solid, sound win.
It was.
That's how you kind of look at it.
Over a tremendous quarterback on the road, a team that was desperate to win the game, and the Eagles, and Hugh, they didn't win by like luck on a weird play at the end of the game. They took them apart in the second half.
Yeah, and that's the complementary football that we've been striving for all this time. It just looked like it flowed. Everything that they did yesterday, it flowed into one another. The defense played well. The defense came out and did their job. And I tell you what, this is where they should have been, in my opinion, a few weeks ago. They got there yesterday. Now you keep it going. That's why, you know, with all due respect to Elliott, when you talk about acceptable losses and things like that, no, because we're playing a momentum game right now. Now, moving forward, the momentum game is huge because I need to see this team this weekend as well. Even though it's the Jacksonville Jaguars and they've been struggling and yada, 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 you have to build off of that. I saw some good things on film yesterday that probably didn't translate to what people are used to seeing when they talk about, you know, a good football team, anything like that. That's why I wholeheartedly believe in this pass rush. There was a lot of missed opportunities to get sacks yesterday.
Well, the other thing about the sacks yesterday, because they had one yesterday? Burrow is more elusive than he used to be.
Yes, he is. He's quick.
It's kind of weird to see a quarterback who was not – he's not a mobile quarterback, right? Like, compared to the rest of the league, he's not mobile, right? You think about mobile quarterbacks, Joe Burrow is not one of them. He's actually gotten more mobile as he's getting older.
He's elusive.
Yeah, I mean, but that one play he made to Gesicki up the sideline, that was a –
And then when he pulled the one play down and ran it.
That was a mobile play. So. Yeah. I'm not surprised he got away yesterday. But look, we had that whole debate Friday. Is this an acceptable loss? You know what? Yesterday, the calculus changed a little bit because when we were having that discussion, was it an acceptable loss? You know what we were thinking at that point? We were thinking that the Commanders were going to start Marcus Mariota and probably lose.
Marcus Mariota.
Well, they didn't start Marcus Mariota. Jaden Daniels got to play, and that's another win for the Commanders. This NFC playoff race
is exciting.
It's going to be wild. I think there's a chance there's a 10-win team that misses the playoffs in the NFC.
There's a possibility.
That you know, and in the past, since they went to the seven playoff teams in each conference format, you got 10, you got in. I mean, that's because it's seven teams.
10 to get you in, that was the mantra. 10 to get you in.
I don't know this year. You know, the division is going to matter a lot. Winning, there's a chance the Eagles and Commanders both make the playoffs with, you know, 10 or 11 wins. But there's also a chance that whoever loses the division misses out on the playoffs because there's a lot of really good teams, especially in the North. All right, Hugh, yesterday there were two huge plays in the game on defense. The Eagles go up in this game 24-17 on the bomb to Devontae Smith, right? Late third quarter, they're up 24-17. We had two big plays that followed that play. The first, of course, and we'll hear it here, fourth and one for the Bengals. And they set it up where they throw the ball to Ja'Marr Chase, and this happened. Let's hear it, and then you break down what you saw on this one, Hugh, with Cooper DeJean making the play.
Don't jump off sides. Be disciplined.
Burrow in the gun. Chase in motion. Burrow back. He tries to swing it out to Chase, and he's brought down for a loss by DeJean. DeJean went into the backfield, and the Eagles take over on downs.
Oh, my. What a play by the rookie Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, the biggest thing is his ability to make the play after the play was already made, like the tackle. That's the one thing that we've been missing from this secondary for a long time, Joe, is the fact that when guys make plays like that, that they're in position to actually make the tackle. That's the biggest thing. I can't say enough about how different it looks when you have these young guys out there making those kind of plays. You're not even worrying about guys. You see how some guys get kind of handsy and they just want to use their hands. That, for lack of a better way of saying it, he got body to body. He got body to body on
against
that play.
Against a receiver that's really tough to take down.
Yeah, because you need that. You need to, when you tackle, we're always taught to sprint through. Sprint through, just run through and put that bike on him and sprint straight through. And that's what he did, man. That's something that we've been missing in the secondary for a long time.
I have a comp I thought of yesterday for Cooper DeJean as I watched him make
that
play.
Who's the comp?
It's a big one. I mean, if you want to tell me, Joe, you're over the top, this is too much, it's crazy to put him in this conversation.
Body to body.
You could tell me. But when I watched him make that play, because, Hugh, that play wasn't just reading. He was following Chase, but like, Chase was in motion. Mm-hmm. And then Chase stops on a dime and goes in the route, and he's got to stop on a dime, fight through traffic, get there, and like you described, make the play. Do you know who I saw when I watched that play?
Who you saw?
I saw Charles Woodson. That reminded me of Charles Woodson when he used to play the slot for the Raiders, or the nickel, for the Raiders and the Packers. He used to tackle like that. I felt like I was watching Charles Woodson yesterday when I watched that. And I know what I'm saying. I mean, Charles Woodson's one of the greatest DBs I've ever seen. That was an incredible play.
No, and it's one I'm watching again. He caught him, like, when the ball, he hit, when he catches the ball, Coop's right there.
Yep.
And he wasn't breaking down. He just sprinted through him. That's what you have to have, man. If you're going to take a shot, go all the way. Don't try to break down, because this is a money down. They get this first down, ain't no telling what's going to happen. And he shot his shot, and he made the play.
I thought there was a panic move by the Bengals to go for it there. It was only the third quarter. They're only down a touchdown. I thought it was a weird call. Obviously,
well, their defense was getting worked by that time. It was starting to get worked.
So
they're probably thinking, you know what, we're going to try to keep them up, trying to get them a little, spell them a little
bit. But
because, you know, these young cats nowadays, they get tired.
Well, speaking of that, we'll get to a quarterback that got tired yesterday. All right, so that was the first one. Eagles get the ball back. They get the field goal after that to go up 27-17. Next possession, Bengals around midfield trying to go down, I think about 12 minutes to go in the game, down 10. If they score on this possession, it's anybody's game. It's only a three-point game at that point. Let's hear the play. Isaiah Rodgers making the play and CJ GJ finishing it.
First and 10. The ball at their own 46. Back goes Burrow. He sets up. He's going deep down the far side of the field. Incomplete. Incomplete. There's Ja'Marr Chase. Let's see. Is this an interception?
No, that was intercepted.
It was intercepted. Isaiah Rodgers was back there, and so was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
So Rodgers makes the play on the ball. He tips the ball. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is the recipient of the tip ball for the interception. The Eagles have it going back the other way.
That is unbelievable.
It's a great play by Rodgers, and it's a tip ball drill that D-backs work on all the time. It's tip. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson perfectly in place for the interception.
You know what I like about this play is the fact that Isaiah, he's what you call sticky in coverage. And he was there. He wasn't in position to make the play, but he was in a position to block it from the receiver making the play.
It was Chase, I think.
Chase, yeah. And CJ GJ was right there to make the play. And at the end of the play, when he went in the end zone, the coolest thing that he did was he called all the DBs up, and it was almost like he was pouring some drinks so everybody get a chance to sip from the cup. That was dope, man. This team is starting to play like a cohesive unit, and they're starting to feed off one another. And like I said, man, it was different when Isaiah Rodgers was out there. Not taking any shots at Slay, because he's a hell of a player. He's a hell of a player. But the dynamic that those young guys have right now and their ability to make plays like that, that's something that I tell you what, my coach used to say it all the time. Never let the guy behind you get a chance to show what he can do. And with that being said, you know, Isaiah Rodgers was a guy who early on was talking about how he felt slighted because he wasn't in the starting lineup. He's going to get an opportunity. I think he's going to try to take full advantage of it, man.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he does. He had a great training camp. We talked to him during camp. He seemed ready to play, and then he hurt his hand right at the end of training camp. Didn't get to play. He made that play. So you know what I was wondering, Hugh, as I watched it? I was wondering, was that intentional, or was that just kind of the way his body was and he could only kind of hit it? He couldn't try to intercept it himself. After the game, Rodgers saying, yeah, he tried to do what he did to tip that ball to CJ GJ.
Have you done that before? Have you ever tried to purposely tip a ball to another defender?
Yeah, it's something you practice. You feel like as a DB, if you can't get two hands on the ball, it might be hard to actually pick it off with one hand, especially going at that angle I was at. So, you know, just try to – we practice tips and overthrows. That's one thing we preach in our room.
Sorry, I missed that, but you did try to tip it to CJ on that?
I tried it one hand until I realized I couldn't, then I was like, all right, cool.
How did you know he was there?
I trust him. You know, that's one of our plays that he's supposed to get over top, and he was there.
I mean, you couldn't have drawn that up any better, right? He tips it up, and CJ GJ just waiting there for it. Boom.
Yeah, that was dope.
Interception.
What you need.
This team, I think we said it last week, they only had two takeaways the entire year. They got two on back-to-back possessions.
Playing better.
And then after that pick, if my memory serves, I think the Eagles had the 8-minute drive, scored again, and it was that's it. At that point, it was over. It was done. Eagles win the game. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Rudy in Haddon Township. What's up, Rudy?
Rudy. Hey, afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, Rudy. What's up, buddy?
Oh, man. Well, it was overall a very good day in Philly sports, obviously with the Eagles' big win, but then also the Sixers getting their first win and Maxey dropping 45. So an overall good day, only to be ruined, though, by the Bears and the Flyers, but that's a story for another day. With the Eagles guys, just overall impressed with the game, a well-rounded performance, a well-rounded dominant win. One of the things that I really enjoyed was the overall adjustments made by the defense. You know, Vic, you know, early on, as you kind of pointed out earlier, Joe, that the Bengals were converting third downs at will. And for the defense to make the adjustments, for Fangio to make the adjustments, that was definitely a big plus and a big positive moment from the game yesterday.
Oh, it was huge. And Rudy, when that first drive happened and they went right down and scored and they held the ball like, you know, for 10 minutes, if you had told me the rest of the game they'd only score 10 more points and only would, you know, on what, their next 8 possessions, I would have said, you're crazy. Like, they're going to score in the 20s at least, if not in the 30s today. That defense, man, Rudy, last year they were really a poor defense, and this year it looked like they might be again, but they're just getting better and better and better now.
Absolutely. I mean, that first drive, it looked like death by a thousand cuts. And to your point, yeah, you know, with even without T. Higgins, we definitely expected the Bengals, you know, with Chase and Burrow, to put up at least 20. The other point I quickly wanted to make about the game yesterday, one of the other things I really noticed that I've seen definitely since the bye week is the evolution of this offense. You're seeing more under center. You're seeing more play action from Jalen from under center. And one of the things I like to, in the running game from under center, you're seeing a lot more north and south running with Barkley. Just put that foot in the ground, just, you know, simple inside zone. Just take it straight up north and south. So I'm definitely seeing more under center from Jalen in this offense. So it shows that this offense is evolving by the week. But overall, just a great win. Cooper DeJean making that big play on Ja'Marr Chase, as we pointed out earlier. And then, you know, some of these other guys like Jalen Carter getting penetration up the middle. It was probably the most refreshing win since 2022, kind of to what you guys said yesterday, earlier. It's looked a lot like the 2022 Eagles yesterday.
It did. Big plays down the field, big plays by the defense. It did. Rudy, man, we appreciate the call. The only thing missing from 22 was a lot of sacks, but they got those the last 2 weeks. Just yesterday, they only had one sack.
I believe that's coming. It's these guys are getting close, man. I know for a lot of people, they don't watch the game the way that I do. They're doing some good stuff out there, and it's going to come. The game plan for the Bengals was to get the ball out quick. And a lot of times you saw guys that they were coming off clean and they were getting around the corner and the ball was just gone. Mm. But you got to keep going. Like, that's the one thing about pass rush. The teams that you play against see exactly what I see. These guys have potential to be a really, really good group. And when they really put it together, maybe towards the end of the season, they're going to be hell to deal with.
So Rudy mentioned they're under center more. Yesterday they were under center 21 plays. The Giants game, 13. Before that, 7-6-3-7-7. The last 2 weeks, they've gone from a team that was under center about, you know, 5 or 6 times per game on average to a team that's been under center 34 times the last 2 games. 215-592-9494. For more of your calls coming up on the win, Howard Eskin joins us at noon. I'm sure he's going to be very excited to talk about his favorite head coach, Nick Sirianni, here, who is 3-0 in the buzzed or shaved or whatever you call it, hair era here. Plus, Jaws on the post-game show. He sounds like he's diving all the way in on this team. What he said about the win, well, let's hear from Jaws next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 W.